Hello, this is the AusMed Handover Podcast. My name is Darren Wake, and today I'm going to ask the question, how hard is it to get onto a graduate nurse program?
It was a harrowing 6 months to a year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think.
See, this is important, I think, because a lot of people, a lot of undergraduates, think they'll walk into a position. You know, I'd really want to talk about how difficult it was to get through the process.
It is.
Admittedly, I probably should have been a bit more proactive and applied to more places, but I applied to 3 hospitals. I got rejected from 2, and I was just so despondent. And it was when I got the acceptance call, I was fairly certain, you know, I'd have convinced myself a career in nursing was over. I wasn't going to get a grad year. And
I didn't realize I was, throughout all of school, I was sort of, I don't know what kind of nurse I want to be. I haven't experienced enough yet, so I need to figure it out. But the hard thing with going into a grad, trying to apply for a grad position anyway, is, you know, you write this cover letter and in your interview they will ask you this question and they want you to have some sort of plan or some sort of idea of where you want to go.
Oh, they want a career plan that early.
Yeah, so they're actually asking you, or for instance, even the Royal Children's Hospital or other places where it's very specialised for certain things. And, you know, how do I know I want to be a pediatric nurse straight away? Or how do I know I want to go into trauma? I haven't experienced anything. And as a student, you're never allowed to go into any sort of environment like that to begin with.
Yeah.
But the hard thing is that as a student, you try to sort of apply or request placements in certain hospitals, in certain specialties, in certain areas. And when you go to apply for your grad position, you can list down, okay, I've been here, I've been here, this is why I'm suited to apply for this hospital. But for me, what I found difficult was that throughout school, I was like very blasé about it. I'll take what I can get and just experience what it is. So when I went to apply, the hardest thing was that different hospitals have different prerequisites. You had to have experience in this specialty to apply to this hospital, or you had to have done this amount of hours in this setting to be able to apply for us. And that really hit me going into applying, was that I haven't actually considered or even realized that there were prerequisites to meet at the beginning of nursing school. If I knew that, I would have thought harder about it. I would have then tried to sort of direct, you know, which kind of placements I would go to just so I could lead into it and be better prepared for what I'm applying to.
You know, in a lot of nursing, like undergrad programs, you know, you've applied, you're spending your money on them, and they spend, you know, the 2, 3, 4, however many years you spend telling you, oh, we will train you really well. It'll be really, you know, we train fantastic nurses, because no program's going to say, oh, we train terrible nurses. They all tell you, you're going to be fantastic, you're going to be so prepared. And then your final year, they're like, okay, well, here's what happens if you don't get a grad program. And you're like, wait, what? Like, you don't necessarily think about the grad program until the, like, I know I thought about it, but I didn't think about really the difficulties of applying and maybe not what would happen if I didn't get one. Yeah. Until my final year. And at that point, you've dedicated so much time and money to it.
Yeah.
You just feel really desperate to get it.
Yeah. That process is a really, really long process. It's only 2 months, but you feel like forever. Because every day when you wake up, the first thing you think of is, did I get my cover letter right properly for this hospital?
Yeah.
Do I get my resume enough information for the interviewer to understand me? Because they don't see you in the face. The first thing they see, the first impression is your cover letters and the CV. And I spent so long to write that up, and I asked so many friends to read it over and make sure there's no mistake. Yeah. And I think this is really challenging to write this up, and you want to present yourself really well. And I mean, a cover letter, you can't just write one for all the hospital. You have to specific into this hospital. You need to understand their values, their mission, and the history of the hospital. And you need to understand the hospital really, really well.
You do your research about every hospital.
You need to do a lot of research. Yeah.
And you tailor everything for that hospital.
I mean, the hospital I'm working at the moment, before I got the job, I read at least 20 document about hospital. I read their annual report. I read their website 20 times. I know every single column, what is inside, and I know the history.
I remember it's when really I got my acceptance call, they specifically told me, oh, you did so well in your interview, partly because I had gone online and read articles about the various, you know, new techniques they were using, or various not necessarily about their grad program, but being like, oh, they had, you know, their overseas opportunities. And I was able to tie that into my interview. And they specifically said, that was amazing. It's like, that's, you already have so much other work. The idea that that's the extra, that's a requirement to go so far beyond, which is already a really tough basic requirement.
So you're saying it's really, really competitive, and you just cannot take a passive approach.
No. Especially in a group interview. You get like group interview and individual interview for some of the hospital, and you can see the people sitting in the group, and you know how much they want the job.
Right.
So everybody just contribute into the group, and
it's not just about your grades or how good of a student you were. And it's not even just about how great your recommendations are from whatever preceptors or educators you've previously had. It's about how well you can interview, how well you can write as well. Yeah. There's so much emphasis on make sure you don't have any spelling mistakes or any grammatical errors or any sentence that sounds off, because you will instantly be put into a discarded pile. And so it's not just about you and how good of a nurse you could be. Yeah. It's also about how enthusiastic you are about whatever hospital you're applying as well.
Yeah.
And you're really puffing air to basically say, I really love this hospital, and please, you know, I'm really enthusiastic about it.
The more you prepare, the more you become confident during the interview. Because when I apply hospital A, I read the 20 documents, and then hospital B, I didn't do much research. So when I rock up to the interview, I can see the difference in between the two hospital interviews. So I think the more you prepare, the more you increase your confidence levels.
There's one example, sorry, that I remember. I was applying to a hospital, and I know a friend of mine was applying to the same place, and I got a phone call, and they sort of held a mini interview with me on the phone instantly. I was on the street, and I would had to hold this interview. And the sad thing was, because I've applied for so many hospitals, I didn't quite remember so much about this hospital. And all I remember was that it was a private hospital. And so they're asking me, oh, why do you want to work with us? I was like, because you're a private hospital. And I think that's great. And I just used really excited, emphatic words to describe how excited I would have been to work at this hospital with them. And so they're okay. So we would like to interview further, and they organized a date for me. So I was like, okay, I just assumed it was a call to organize an interview date. I meet up with my friend the next day, and apparently she got the same phone call. However, she didn't answer those questions as excitedly as I did. And they actually turned to her and said, we are here to say that we decline your application because it doesn't seem like you truly want to work at our
because
hospital.
Because we've got another ultra enthusiast.
That's right. So you have to really show that you really, like, whether you mean it or not, that you really want to work at this hospital and that you are enthusiastic. And
how terrible are interviews, Justin? I'm sure for any, in like any profession, you have 10, 15 minutes to just try and show them your entire personality. And you're just like, but only the good aspects of your personality. And you're just,
you know, it really sounds that, I've been nursing a long time, and it really sounds like the days where you'd finish your training and then basically, oh, I'll go and work here. And, you know, now it's like the corporate model, isn't it? You've got to present this entire package of yourself.
I had to go out and buy a suit. Like, I bought a blazer and an actual proper professional outfit to attend interviews.
And as nurses, we don't need those professional outfits. Like, most will never wear that.
But it sounds like there's a point where everything comes to, you need to think of every possible way to give yourself the edge and stand on the ground.
You need to present yourself really well.
And do you use social media at all?
There was, you know, hospitals I was looking at. They, you know, every hospital has a Facebook page now. And, you know, as I said, I looked up, you know, their newest techniques and went on. Half of the time you found it, see what they emphasized.
And are you careful about what you put on your own social media page?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never said where I work. I've never said.
Yeah.
You would not. Oh. My profile picture on Facebook is my graduation ceremony, like me holding my diploma, which has nursing on it. But if it didn't, you wouldn't know I was a nurse.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, I've sat in on a number of interviews, and I've certainly seen managers find the applicant's Facebook page and get a sense of what they're like as a person and how that matches up to how they present.
It's
in
more
interview.
About professional boundary as well. Yeah, I wouldn't post anything related to hospital. But, and I mean, every hospital have their own social media policy as well. So
that was,
I think we need to understand
what my university course literally instructed us. They said, here's how you go your Facebook. Here's how you, like, they showed us how to set our privacy settings.
Yes.
So intensely that anybody looking at us wouldn't see more than our profile picture and name. Because they were like, they were like, look, we don't know what you have on there. Maybe you have nothing on there. Maybe you think it's nothing, but they might think it's something. Yeah. So just don't.
They might get any kind of impression from whatever picture of you hugging another boy.
Yeah.
Just, you know, be careful of.
What if your profile picture is you hugging a dog and your interviewer is a cat person? You know, just don't do it. Just don't.
Any idea how many people in your graduating year didn't get onto grad programs?
Me and Sue went to the same university together, and we had a cohort of, let's say, about 100, but
we started with 110, and I think only 80 graduated with us.
Okay.
Yeah, 80
and to 90. So I would say we had a surprisingly high acceptance rate for our school.
Hmm.
So it would have been about 70.
Yeah, I do.
Of us. So 10 people would have missed out in our year.
Okay.
But
the uni I went to, I think it's about 85% people got their grad year. And
okay, and were they all working just as hard as you to get their places?
Yes.
I'd say the ones who didn't get a grad year were the ones who probably took a, like, it sounds bad because it may be not. I don't know all of them personally what they did, but if you were passive about it at all, like, I even think I was maybe to a certain degree a bit too passive. And as I said, I got rejected by 2 out of 3. So it was only the one that I was really passionate about that I got, because I was able to demonstrate that passion.
Yeah, so complacency has an immediate penalty.
Yeah,
for sure.
And especially, you know, as Jane was saying about the, oh, don't really know what I want to do, want to try a bunch of different things, it can be hard to feel really passionate about a particular hospital or program if you don't know where you want to go with nursing. You just want to try it out. And if you, but you have to display passion anyway, you just have to fake it.
Fake it till you make it.
Exactly.
Oh,
says the nurse.
Yeah. Do you think a gap year is a bad idea?
Yeah. Well,
from my own perspective, like a lot of people will say, oh, I'll finish my third year and then I'll take a gap year and then I'll come back and do nursing grad year again. Mm. I don't think it's a good idea because like you finish and then you have like a year and then you don't really do anything related to the hospital setting job. Like
how can you forget.
Yeah, when you come back.
The break between.
You struggle,
Like we finished exams. November and get our acceptance and we start in January, February, 2 months it took and I have forgotten almost everything I've learned in school. And then you go into the setting and then you're like, oh, I remember something vaguely similar to that. And you're learning it all again in grad year. And to imagine to leave it a year in between, I don't know how many skills I would have left.
Yeah. And essentially, I mean, I can almost buy, even though I didn't take a gap year, can kind of say because, I started end of February of this year, finished my course end of November last year. I had a 2-week specialty placement in theater in October, which I decided was not for me. I'm not really interested in theater. But that meant the last placement I had on a ward was in May of last year. So essentially a year off the ward when I started. And I mean, I'm not a horrific nurse, but there were bumps at the start. It was, it's not easy to get back into a routine that you don't remember that well. And especially there's a big difference between nursing as a student and nursing, as a registered nurse.
Different responsibility are totally different.
And what did it feel like to get that piece of paper or that phone call or that email that said, you've got a place?
So for a FLISU will be different, but for those of us going through computer matching, so a computer matches each person to a hospital. So it came out at, I think, 10 a.m.
Well, I didn't go through a computer match.
Oh, okay. It went through at 10 a.m. on this specific date, and I was on placement at the time, and I asked to be excused, and it was a few of us, and we were on our computers, and we were just refreshing, click, 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 every second, and then it will pop up, and all it will say is, you have been matched, if you're lucky to, you have been matched to whatever hospital. And then it was just, oh, my God, celebration, tears, crying, everything.
Yes.
And that was what it was. So it was an amazing feeling because of all of the crap we've been through and to finally just get this one sentence to say, you got it. It was just, okay, instead of a black hole at the end where I don't know if I've got a job or not, I have a future now.
I was asleep. I had a late lab that morning at like 11. Yeah, so I was half asleep when I got my phone call and I went from half dozed to, jumping up and down off the walls while trying to maintain a very calm, professional, like, oh, yes, thank you, while literally just bouncing around. So.
Yeah, I still remember that moment, and then I'm still really excited about that because I just got up a tram. I was about to go to library and study, and that was 9 o'clock in the morning. And then I received a phone call from that education consultant because I saved her number because I'm looking forward to receive her number. And then I got it. So I was really polite to pick up the phone. I was like, hi, this is Peter. Good morning. I was really polite. I don't usually say that. So, and then she ended up telling me the good news. And I was so excited. And I'm not sure if I was appropriate. I was like, is that real? Yeah. It was exciting. So I was like laughing the whole day like an idiot around the street. Everybody looked at me. I was like, oh, I'm so happy.
I actually, yeah. I don't live too far from the hospital where I now work. And I had to pass it on my way to uni, and I was just passing it after getting that phone call. Was like, yes, I am employed.
I think, yeah, as I mentioned before, it's such a long, difficult process. Mm. But at the end of the day, you receive a phone call, or as Jane received that sentence from the computer match, everything worth it. Like, you just... Mm. With it.
It was just an incredible rush of emotion and just relief.
Yeah.
Especially that sort of once you've finished off all your interviews and you just have to wait. And I think it was finished in July. It came out in October. So a few month wait of this news to come and you're just getting more and more tense. And then especially in that final week where everyone's like, well, where have you applied to? Where do you want to go? I'm like, stop asking me because I'll find out whether I have a job later. And it comes and it was just this rush and it was just, yeah, I'm pretty sure I broke down in the middle of of placement at this hospital. And everyone's like, are you okay? I'm like, I have a job.
So was it like all this tension breaking, but then did you sort of think, oh no?
I think that came a little bit after. I think it took a little bit.
You were riding high for a while. it's like a month after.
You go up to the peak and then you start worrying and you're going to be like, oh my God, I'm working on my own.
Yeah, then all that stuff happens.
This is the AusMed Handover podcast. My name is Darren Wake, and thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this program, then I encourage you to leave comments and reviews and subscribe for future episodes.